Hafaday, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Hearthstone Deck Techs. Hearthstone, whatever you're going to call it. We're going to be talking the game today. And today's episode, we are talking about Tempo Rogue / Miracle Rogue. And we're going to get just straight into it. The expansion, Boomsday Project, is almost upon us. I think we have like 2 more weeks before the expansion is fully released. I think it comes out on August 7th. We're kind of, the next 2 weeks are the meta. I think it really won't change too much. People are going to be playing classic archetypes and decks and styles because, you know, the meta has kind of reached a high maturity point. That said, Miracle Rogue is a very classic archetype that has existed for a very, very long time. Back in the heyday when Gadgetzan Auctioneer was not 6 mana. And if you imagine how crazy that card is, you can imagine how crazy it is back then. That said, I want to blur the lines between Miracle Rogue and Tempo Rogue here, because Tempo Rogue is kind of a list that gets board presence early and uses efficient removal to keep your tempo off the board. And it just finds enough early game damage to keep you at a within lethal range, and then it finds the burst to kill you. That's how Tempo Rogue works. Miracle Rogue works slightly different. And then we're going to talk a little bit about that. First, let's talk about the history of Miracle Rogue. Miracle Rogue actually comes from a Magic archetype. So in the game Magic the Gathering, back in the day, there was a deck called Miracle Grow. And what that deck was Quirion Dryad, which was this green creature, 1 colorless mana, 1 green mana. And the card art was this druid dryad-looking girl with a big afro fro, right? Green afro. And basically, she was like a 1/1 creature. And when you played other color spells, like blue or red or black or white spells, she would get a +1/+1 counter. So the whole game plan was to put her on the board early and use counter spells and other spells to either remove things from your opponent's board or to protect the dryad. And then she would get bigger and bigger, and then you would just swing for tempo and win, right? And that's basically how that deck worked, and that translates over to the initial archetype, the traditional form of Miracle Rogue, which had questing adventurers and Gadgetzan Auctioneer, and what you would do is you would somehow get those on the board, then you would play Conceal, and you would hide your entire board, and then the next turn when you untapped, you would play a slew of spells and cheap discounted spells to find Cold Bloods, to find Leeroy, to find Eviscerates, and to kill your opponent by just playing one big turn of value. That is basically how Miracle Rogue works. Now, with the release of new sets, that has kind of changed in a bit, you know, because, well, Gadgetzan is now more expensive. You know, Questing Adventure just doesn't see the play it once did. Conceal, you know, is not, I don't even think Conceal is in standard anymore. So people have kind of shied away from the archetype, but it still exists in a different form. And that form revolves around cards like Faldorai Strider, which we're going to talk about in a little bit. But before we go on, I'm going to just explain the list that I'm going to talk about today and a couple of clear card changes that we're not running, okay? Because the deck that I'm going to talk about is not the most popular version of Tempo / Miracle Rogue, okay? For what it's worth, this is Tempo Rogue, okay? But, you know, like I said, the lines between the two can be blurred, especially in this current meta that we're in. The Miracle Rogue and Tempo Rogue decks are just so close together, okay? But that said, we are going to look at them. Let me see. I can pull this out. I mean, like, the decks are just ridiculously close. They're extremely close together. But here's the list that we're going to talk about today. It's 2 Backstab, 2 Preparation, 1 Shadow Step, 2 Cold Blood, 2 Firefly, 2 Hallucination, 2 Eviscerates, 2 Saps, 2 Blink Foxes, an Edwin Van Cleef, 2 Fan of Knives, 2 SI7 Agents, 2 Faldorai Striders, a Leeroy Jenkins, 2 Vilespine Slayers, two sprint, and a test gray main. Now, there are obvious things here that aren't being played, and I know that they may seem questionable to you, and I'm going to explain them right now. Number one is, hey, Ken, you talked about gadgets and auctioneers. Where are the gadgets and auctioneers? That is a big point of contention. And to be honest, in my testing, I don't know what I like better. Do I like sprints better, or do I like gadgets and auctioneers? Now, here are the things about deck buildings that you need to know. You cannot just interchange, like, you know, you can't just play a list with gadget with sprint, and then the next day say, you know what, fuck sprint. Let me take sprint out. Let me play gadgets and auctioneer instead, right? You can't just do that, because gadgets and auctioneer needs spells to run that engine. So it needs cheap spells. So that means you need to run hallucinate. You know, in certain metas, you need the coin, counterfeit coin or whatever, right? Maybe you need Shiv. You know, there's particular card choices that affect the way the entire deck works, okay? The list we're talking about today won't run Gadgetzan, but if you did run Gadgetzan, I'll talk a little bit about what options you could use, right? Now, the other thing that is interesting is we're running Test Greymane. Test Greymane is an 8-mana legendary 6/6 battle cry. Replay every card from another class you play this game. So obviously, if I play this, I want to have played other battle cries in the game as well. That means cards like Hallucination and Blink Fox are ideal, because if I don't play those, Test gives me no value. Now, Test is a tricky card. The reason I say that is because what you get from Hallucination and Blink Fox is random to begin with. So your results could be random. She's not the powerhouse that something like Yogg-Saron is. Now, if you play Tess and you Shadow Stepper, then, hey, it gets even crazier, right? But she's not a straight win condition. Like, if you are looking for something more, I don't know, consistent, then you'd probably want to replace Tess with Lich King, because Lich King is the same mana cost, a bigger body that's not as random, and it gives you worthwhile cards. So that would be a clear exchange right there, and that would be common. If you made that change, you'd be able to change a couple other cards, which we'll talk about. Like, one thing you may be notice is, like, Ken, where is Hench Clan Thug? How come there's no Hench Clan Thug in this list, right? And honestly, if you're playing Rogue, you might as well play Hench Clan Thug. There's no reason to play the best 3-drop, right? It is the best 3-drop. But for me, I just wanted to play something slightly different. And this is Liv Hai, a Korean legend player who only plays Rogue. This is his deck list. And I am very, very happy with the way this particular list works. But like I said, we'll make some small changes here, right? So let's just go down through the cards, talk just very quickly about their roles. You know, backstab's obvious. You know, this is tempo removal, 0 mana, costs nothing to deal 2 damage. This is good because you can equip a weapon. You hit that on a Dire Mole. You can kill a Dire Mole. You can use that over taunts to kill a 2-health minion that's hiding. You can use that to combo different things. You can use that to activate Edwin Van Cleef. You can use that to activate SI7 Agent. You can use that to activate Vile Spine Slayer. There's a lot of use out of that. Preparation, which is a great spell. You use this to discount a lot of stuff like Eviscerate, Sap, Fan of Knives, and most importantly, Sprint, right? Which is your hugest engine. Shadow Step. The Shadow Step is a card that you can use very liberally. Obviously, it's nice if you can Shadow Step a Test Greymane, but that is not always going to happen. And there are going to be many situations where you need to Shadow Step an SI7 agent to keep a Paladin board manageable. Or maybe you Shadow Step a Faldorized Strider to put more threats in your deck versus a Priest. Or maybe you Shadow Step a Vilespine Slayer just to have enough answers for big taunts. Or maybe you Shadow Step a Leeroy, so that you can find an extra 6 damage against an opponent. A very versatile card. Feel free to use it liberally if you need to, but remember that it offers you a lot of versatility in the deck. 2 Cold Bloods. Don't be afraid to play turn 1 Firefly, turn 2 Firefly Cold Blood against control. This is one of the strongest opening lines you can have. Just remember that when you play Cold Blood, you want to at least get the value of 1 attack from it. Okay, so keep that in mind. Cold Blood is a great activator too. Firefly. It's your only one drop. It's going to be one of the cards you mulligan for almost exclusively. And it's an activator. And that's what is most important in rogue decks, I think. So you play the first one. Most of the time, unless you're playing against Paladin, you will hold the second one because you need that to activate your SI7 agent, activate your Van Cleef, what have you, right? Hallucination. Once again, the reason why we're playing Hallucination is because we're playing Tess. If we were not playing Tess, then we would be playing, then we would not be playing Hallucination, and we would be most likely playing a Lich King, and we would most likely be playing Elven Minstrel, which I think is a great card. And I wouldn't, that's also a good way to play the deck. I wouldn't be opposed to someone doing that. But Hallucination is great with Tess because, it gives you the opportunity to find a card that you may need. It's a cheap activator. It's a one mana spell. And it's useful with all the combo cards and with Tess. We have two Eviscerates. Eviscerates just premier damage, premium damage. 2 for 4 damage. You cannot beat this. Obviously, you need to combo it. Just a strong card. Sap, which is very strong in this meta. Think Evenlock. Think Taunt Druid. Think all these decks which put just huge things on the board that, if you just could just evade it, you'd be in a great position. And that's what Sap is. The king of tempo, okay? For 2 mana, remove something from the board. Take back their turn. So if a player plays a Lich King on turn 8, you sap it. You've kind of saved yourself 6 mana to deal with that turn. You know what I mean? And now you have 6 mana to work with and the initiative on your board properly. 2 Blink Fox, which is the 3 for a 3/3 beast. Battle Cry, add a random card to your hand. Obviously, we are playing that because we are playing Tess Greymane. I think most rogue decks need to be heavy on the 3-drop spot. Okay? Like 2 Blink Foxes, 2 Hench Clan Thugs, Van Cleef, SI7 Agent. You need... that should be one of the fattest parts of your deck, the 3-drop spot. And there are many options. We are playing Blink Flux simply because we're playing Tess Greymane. If we were not playing Tess, this would be Hench Clan Thug. And if you are questioning anything, I think you should be playing Hench Clan Thug. In most situations, Hench Clan Thug is just the premier card. Okay, the damage is just... The snowball potential of the Thug is too good. Because your turn 2 typically always is going to be weapon. So because your turn 2 is weapon, your turn 3 with the Thug is always a 3-4, a 4-4. Always. That is just too good. Stat-wise, that is just too strong. Especially because it can snowball. So keep that in mind. We are running Blink Fox in this list because, like I said, we're running Tess. It's a little more Timmy. It's a little more fun. But I like it. Edwin Van Cleef, which is just a good card. Okay, like if you go off with the combo, you're filtering a sprint or something. It's nice to end those with a big Van Cleef, but don't be afraid to play this in other matchups as a 4-4. You know what I mean? Just play a small, like on a turn 5 versus some kind of aggressive decks. It's okay to play a Firefly into a Van Cleef or whatnot. Or a Sap into a Van Cleef. Versatile card, very good legendary. Don't get caught in the trap, though, of forcing it to be as big as it can be. Because sometimes you'll just spend damage to the face. Like you're like, oh, I got double Eviscerate in hand. Let me just do 8 damage to the face and drop a 10-10 Van Cleef instead of a 6-6 Van Cleef. Be wary of what your opponent can do to deal with it. Okay? 2 Fan of Knives. I think in a meta that's littered with Paladin, you need Fan of Knives. This meta may have changed for you. So, there's a chance you don't need it. And if you don't need it, then I would suggest, playing some kind of other 3-drop. I would say Tanglefur Mystic or King Mukla. King Mukla is actually a pretty decent 3-drop. Probably better in Odd Rogue, but that could work. Or you could play a utility card like Mossy Horror, which is the 6-mana 2/7, destroy all other minions with 2 or less attack. That is not a bad option. Okay, so that would be one card worth thinking about, definitely. Okay, moving on. We have SI7 agents, which I talked about to wit's end. 3 for the 3-3 combo, deal 2 damage. Very good against aggro. Not so good against control, but just a strong staple card. A nice fundamental card. Please play it. Faldorai Strider, which is 4 for a 4-4. The battle cry is shuffle 3 ambushes into your deck. When drawn, summon a 4-4 spider. This is why Miracle Rogue still exists, okay? Because anytime you draw this, you still draw another card and you put this into play, which just gives you strong tempo. Because you do not lose any tempo by playing a 4 for a 4-4. A Chilwind Yeti is a 4 for a 4-5. So this is only very slightly less strong than a Chilwind Yeti by just playing it. But the battle cry is so strong because at any point you get an ambush, you've already gotten way more value out of it. You've pretty much gotten another 4 mana worth of value. So if you ever hit a turn where you cycle through a good portion of the deck and you flip over 2 or 3 of these, I mean, that is crazy. And remember, you can play 2 of these on the deck and you have a Shadow Step. So you have multiple ways of generating way more pressure onto a deck. And typically in some matchups, you can just overwhelm your opponent because you have 16 damage worth of stats on the board and whatever damage in the hand. So keep that in mind. Faldorai Strider, if you're playing Miracle Rogue, you're playing Temple Rogue, this is the card. It doesn't lose you tempo because it's pretty close to what you need to do with 4 mana. And it does give you more tempo anytime you draw its effect, right? So that makes it great, pretty great. We have a Leroy Jenkins, which is just a burst finisher. It's so good in Rogue. You have Shadow Step, so it's awesome. You can play Leroy, then you can play Fan, clearing off the 1-1s, maybe putting your priest opponent or whatnot in a situation where it's kind of difficult to deal with the Leroy. Just a good card. Vile Spine Slayers. Tempo, man. These cards are just so good for tempo. You know what this card is like? This card is like a magic card called Necrotal. Necrotal does the same thing. Comes into play, kills a creature. That is good. Your card coming in, replacing another card on the board that was on your opponent's side, is a huge tempo swing. So while its stats may not be great, may not be ideal, the effect is just so powerful. Because regardless of how big the creature is, regardless of whether it has Shroud or can't be targets of spells or hero power, it doesn't matter. This will kill it. So please put value this card at a premium, especially when deciding what you're going to kill with it. All right. Then we got Sprint. We're running 2 Sprints because we're not running Gadgets in. Sprint is just powerful. Draw for 4. Now, Sprint is a little overcosted for what it does. The reason why I say that is you look at Arcane Intellect, the Mage spell. It is 3 mana to draw 2 cards. So if you paid 6 mana, you would draw 4 cards with 2 Arcane Intellects. This is 7 mana, so it costs 1 more mana, but it's on 1 card. Now, the reason why it's expensive is because preparation is free and will discount this by 3. And that is big. So, typically you're looking to get the sprint late in the game and use that prep and to kind of refill your hand, right? You want to have spent the first few turns of the game, first 5 or 6 turns of the game, fighting for board control, getting tempo. And then when you need to refill, that's when you play the sprint late, right? And hopefully you flip over some ambushes and you get the sprint and get some win conditions in your hand. There are multiple ways to do this. Like I said, you could replace Sprint with Gadget Stand Auctioneer, but if you did that, you would have to change elements of the deck. You would need more spells. You'd probably need to run Shiv. You'd probably not want to run particular cards like SI7 Agent, maybe. You'd want to make other changes, okay, to accommodate for how Gadget Stand works. Other options is to run 1 Gadget Stand and 1 Sprint, which leaves you with a little more versatility. And those are all different ways to play the deck. And it's just up to you to find what works best. And lastly, we have Tess Greymane. Like I said, this could be Lich King. I've talked about Tess already. It is a fun card. I don't know how strong it is as a card, but people don't expect it because they don't expect you to play a card that is not the strongest card that you could play. And typically, the lack of knowledge and not knowing something goes a long way in winning the game, okay? Now, remember, that's a deck list. There are cards that you could switch out. The ones that I would think of the most are obviously Hench Clan Thug. It's a very strong card. It's almost like if you're playing Rogue, there's almost no reason why you wouldn't play that. And of course, Elven Strider, which is a combo card. And if you play those, then I would suggest taking out Tess, taking out Hallucinations. Yeah, definitely. Maybe even adding Lich King for what's that dude's name? Lich King for Tess, or maybe even Mossy Horror, throwing a Mossy Horror in there. So there are different things you can do, different styles. And let's talk about the matchups a little bit. This is the kind of deck that you want versus I don't think you want to face Odd Rogue. I would say that Odd Rogue can, well, I don't know. I think this deck is, it's not about what archetypes you can or cannot face, okay? Because I think outside of Hunter, this deck has a good chance at beating most decks in the meta, okay? Because it's very versatile. But typically, this is the deck that you want to play at the beginning or at the end of a season. And the reason I say that is because, or the beginning of an expansion, because those are the points in time where people tend to try out, go either very aggressive, very control, or very experimental. And those are the best times to play, okay? Because this deck punishes inefficiency, okay? Miracle Rodan and Temple Rogue in general, that's what they punish. Like, okay, Tess Greyman is not efficient. So, yes, obviously changing that to a Lich King is way better, you know, or putting Hench Clan Thugs in here is way more efficient. So keep that in mind. But in general, that's what the archetype aims to do. I would say against Druid, Taunt Druid, really just depends on how quick you get out and whether or not they go from Wild Growth to Nourish. Like, you know, it's going to be hard to beat a Druid that goes like turn 7, Master Okart into a huge board. Like, there are going to be times where if they ramp out too far and they drop big taunt after taunt, like, you're just going to be too far behind. Like, you know, you just won't have enough gas to reach to win. So that can be challenging. But if they stumble, they don't get all the ramp that they need, then, you know, you can kind of steal games from them. Hunter, I think, is pretty difficult. Secret Hunter, which doesn't see as much play, is kind of challenging. I have not challenged enough Kellis, the Egg Hunter, to know. But I would wager to say that that is a tough deck to deal with. You just have limited amounts of removal, and they have just so much way of getting tempo and value. So that would be challenging. Mage, I think, is pretty much in your favor. You can out-tempo them, and you have elements that have burst to get past, like, their freezing effects versus control mage. Paladin, Odd Paladin, can be challenging, but you want to keep Fan of Knives. You want to keep Firefly, and if you can maintain parity on the board early, you can steal games by just getting a good tempo through Faldorai Strider and its ambushes. Priest is easy, simple matchup. You have Striders. You want to keep those. It's not a hard matchup at all. You have so much value and tempo that you can just push through, and they can't deal with your 4-attack minions. Play Edwin as a 4-4 in that matchup. Odd Rogue is, you know, I don't know. Like, I guess a Hench Clan Thug, whoever gets Hench Clan Thug first and whether the opponent can deal with it, that's pretty much the game right there, in my opinion. Odd Rogue has a lot of damage, so they can kind of burst you down. That makes that matchup a little bit difficult. It's just their weapon is better and they play 3 drops. You know, they don't get Eviscerate, but then they get a lot of other stuff, which is pretty powerful when you think about it. Shaman is easy. Shudderwalk, you know, it's pretty easy to play against, especially with Rogue. You know, you can really keep them off. And the thing about Shudderwalk is you need to either go very wide or you need to be very conservative with your burst. What I mean by that is you need to be able to survive a 15 mana or a 15 damage volcano. So keep that in mind. Sometimes it's important to just go wide, you know, like maybe you flipped over a couple of ambushes, then you need to maintain the value of that, and you need to go super wide so that your health is split among all the minions. That matchup is not too difficult. You can put on a lot of pressure early through things like Firefly and a Cold Blood. Warlock, this is also in your favor. Zoo is a strong deck, right? Zoo heal lock is pretty decent, but you have a lot of early game tempo removal, and you can really put them on the back foot early, especially if you get a Faldorite Strider out on a curve, and it starts flipping over ambushes in a decent time. And Warrior is kind of 50%, I think. The problem is they just have taunt after taunt, and the taunts are statted in a way that they can deal with your creatures, meaning they can just kind of out-resource you. At some point, you just run out of cards to play, and you know they just win at that point because of hero power. So I'd say that's kind of challenging. In terms of mulligans, I would say you always, against any aggressive deck, you keep a backstab. You always keep Firefly. I think against most matchups, except extremely aggressive matchups, you'll keep a Blink Fox. And if obviously you always keep, always, even more than Firefly, you always keep Henge Clan Thug if you're playing it. Okay. Against control decks, you'll also keep Faldorite Strider. And if you have any of those early game cards, you'll also keep Hallucination versus Control. Versus aggro, if you have the coin, you'll keep SI7 Agent. And if you have the coin, you'll also keep a Van Cleef if you have other ways of comboing it early. That's pretty much the deck in a nutshell, a pretty quick run-through of it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to copy two deck lists in the description. You'll see one that has Tess Greymane. Play it. See how you like it. It's a slightly slower and more value-oriented list. And then I'll show you one which I think is just very, very optimal. You know, it doesn't play any cute cards. It just goes for, you know, as efficient as possible. When you let me know which one you like and what you think about those decks. If you have any questions about the builds or about the matchups or anything in general with the deck, feel free to contact me on my Twitter. My address, my URL is twitter.com/KenSanityHS. And I have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/KenSanityHS. Where I put up gameplay videos of these decks in action. I'll get one up with Rogue a bit later. But yeah, thank you for supporting the channel, the podcast. I hope my voice is clear and easy to listen to, easy on the ears. And yeah, we will do more spoilers for the set as the weeks, you know, as more cards begin to be revealed. There were a few more cards revealed, but they weren't legendaries. And I do want to talk about them, but I think I need a few more cards to see before we start really delving into how strong these are. Because you know, obviously this is all just a guess. We don't really know how well these cards will do because we don't know the rest of the set, right? We need to not only know the rest of the set, but we just need to know how people initially start building things and what decks stick. Because, you know, here's something about the game. Like, sure, you know, Odd Paladin becomes strong or this type of deck becomes strong. But there could be any number of decks that we have just not experienced or tried to build that may be good. You don't know. Like, you don't know. And I think that's always the good thing about a meta, because it's those decks that become popular that shape the meta. Because popular decks need counters to beat them, and there will always be a counter. So anyway, keep that in mind. I hope you like what you heard. I'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening.